water there. You see where I'm going? But if you tell me that there was a bidding war and that there were five backup contracts, I don't care what those contracts were for, but that tells me that I missed perhaps the demand in a neighborhood, and I need to look a little farther. So you've saved somebody else's deal, which will help, though, the next time that comparable comes available for one of yours. So it's a cooperative thing, and then you can also call us, and you say, you know, I'm having problems measuring a house. We're likely to say, let's come out and help you. So it is a give and take. So
as long as you buy us a drink.
Yeah. But, okay, I can
okay.
add that.
Okay, Penny, go right ahead.
One thing I can add from the lender side, an underwriter perspective, is when the appraisal itself references things like per the listing agent, comp to X, Y, and Z, or if it says, you know, anything that references specifically that they found out direct information that's not available from a data source, that answers a lot of questions for the underwriter because all they have available to them is the data source. They don't have that direct conversation. So it's huge when it says that in the appraisal report.
Excellent. Thank you. The other thing is that you have to remember that appraisers, believe it or not, are human beings too. And we have memories far longer than you can imagine. You can take that any way you want. And that is for folks and situations which treated us well and treated us otherwise. And I'm not implying that I'm a vindictive person. I'm just saying we're human. But if somebody promptly returns calls or answers questions, and it helps me produce a more high-quality report, something where my opinions and conclusions have direct support from something from a market participant, I will remember that for a very, very, very long, 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 long time. And as Maggie mentioned, I'm liable to give them an awful lot of assistance, not necessarily confidential information, but a lot of assistance in helping them solve problems long into the future. And let me just give you one other example about a situation. I had an assignment to appraise a property. It was a cash sale. And the same friend of mine in Clearwater, Florida, the buyers, because this was an inheritance, they wanted to make sure that they weren't overpaying for the property. And this was done like around 2007. So the market, you know, was not in the best of shape. And I had a comparable sale that was two blocks over from this house that was the perfect comparable sale. However, this was all pointing to a value about $25,000 less than what these folks had contracted it. I looked at the MLS, it showed a vacant house. The place was immaculate, it was beautiful, it was perfect. And I called up the listing agent, and she said that shortly after those pictures were taken and the property put on the market, the owners of that bought another house. And they tried to carry it, but after 4 months they couldn't carry both houses, so they moved tenants in to the house that was listed for sale. Y'all know how cooperative tenants are, and they treated the house badly. So as a result, another 11 months afterwards, the house finally sold after it had been beat to pieces by the tenants, and the tenants made showing the property almost impossible. And as a result, the sellers were under a financial stress, and they just said, you know, we got to unload this place, and they did. Now, that helped me realize that the price that these people were paying cash for a house two blocks over was completely reasonable, because I was able to explain why the house, the sale two blocks over, went at a fire sale price. Okay, let's see here. Here's it's not on the topic. I don't know where we are in time, but this is a good question nevertheless. My observation is that appraisers have their jobs already done for them because they seem to appraise right at the sales price almost always. When it's obvious that comps, who in tarnation are you working for? Are you worried about them appraising to the sales price? And they say that obvious comps would value the property, higher. Is this a lender policy? If not, why does this happen? Appraisers always tend to always appraise at the sales price, even when comps show a higher estimate of value.
We do a lot of, going back and looking at data. We were just talking about this out in the hallway, about appraised value relative to sales price. And it truly does follow a very steep bell curve. So a lot of them come in within 1,000, 2,000 of the sales price, one way or another. However, if you go out and look at the tails and project those over time, they're very consistent over time. So there's a certain percentage of appraisals that will always come in higher, and you'll see it from market to market. So, and that tends to be about 8% of appraisals come in high. And then on the other side, appraisals coming in lower than the sales price tends to be around 8 to 10%. Regardless of market conditions, value's going up, value's going down, there's still that percentage. And it generally, it's due to the, what we finally figured out is it's due to borrower behavior or buyer behavior. It's not due to appraiser behavior. So you'll have a certain percentage of buyers who are extremely good at negotiating. And those are the ones where actually the appraisal ends up coming in higher because the buyers were able to do that. And you also have a certain category of buyers who are motivated to move quickly. And or they want a specific school district, they want that specific house, and they're willing to pay up for it. And it's remarkably consistent across the country.
Okay. Anybody else add to this?
Well, from an appraiser standpoint, this is where the appraiser should be looking to you all. If they have a purchase contract and the price is below what the other homes are selling for, but your appraisal comes in at the contract price, I would, number one, take a look at the comparables that they used. And I would also be calling you to say, well, why was the purchase price below what other properties were selling for in the neighborhood? What have I missed? I'm still factual, gathering facts. Why is the price so much lower than all the other sales? This is your opportunity to talk about, well, they got transferred, they had to move, they took the first offer because they bought another home. I mean, we've all heard that story. Or, and we don't want to know their whole life story, but there's a domestic situation involved and they had to dispose of the property. There's always a reason, or most of the time there's a reason. Because as an appraiser, I'm to look for market value. It's not an affirmation of sale price. And the adage that we all learned when we were very young, a property's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it, we all know that's not true. People want to make money when they buy. Sellers think they did it well, buyers think they got a good deal. And our job is to come up with market value, which may or may not be market price. But if you're looking at good realtors in good markets, there is a relationship or a correlation between the price that it's listed for and the price it sells for, and therefore the market value. There should be, and that's why your bell curve, that 8% is right there, that makes a lot of sense if you're thinking about all the cooperation.
Right.
The other thing is that, I tend to think that buyers and sellers aren't stupid. It could be that they're actually negotiating for a price that equals market value. And every now and then, a buyer agrees to pay more. It could be for one of the circumstances that Penny mentioned. It could just be that they're getting incentive to pay a little bit above what the actual value of the property is. Somebody's paying their mortgage insurance premiums, kicking in part of their mortgage closing costs. They're throwing in a Lamborghini. there's a few reasons that. And thank you all for these questions. These are some very good questions. Now, I knew you'd get the juices flowing and you start to get on a roll here. And now we're getting into, here's one that I think is very good because it puts an interesting angle that a lot of us on the appraisal side hear. Seller concessions. How do seller concessions weigh into an appraisal? Should these concessions be reported through the multiple listing service? And if they are reported, either through the MLS or in a conversation with an appraiser, is there a breach of confidentiality, or is it otherwise illegal to disclose them in person or through the multiple listing service? professional standards experts? Or we want to take the first part of this question here. How do seller concessions weigh into an appraisal? Let's suppose we're talking only about the subject property. It is being sold, and the purchase and sale agreement indicates that the seller is going to pay 3% of the mortgage closing costs. Give that as a credit to the buyer at the closing.
And that's the subject property.
That's the subject property. How does that weigh into your appraisal?
Well, it shouldn't. It shouldn't, because we're looking at market value. And we get a copy of the purchase contract, which is another, you know, situation we could talk about for half a day. And it's just to get, again, more information. It's to see what the terms of the sale or purchase contract is, if there are any personal property and items like that. But we're to come up with market value. And then when we get our number, if you will, our credible opinion of value, that's when we take a look at the points that are being paid to see if they influenced that purchase contract, because we have to comment on it. As appraisers, we're supposed to not only read the purchase contract, but analyze it. So if somebody is willing to pay the buyer's points for the subject, would somebody have bought that house if they weren't willing to put in those costs? And would they have paid the same price, or would the market, because the market value would be the same? So if you look at it from that stage, when it's on the subject, it doesn't make a difference.
But what if it's on the comp?
If it's on the comparable, we're going to ask the same thing. Would it have sold for the same price had they not paid the concessions? Because people are not taking money out of their pocket, out of the goodness of their hearts, to help somebody else buy a house. They're doing it to expedite a deal. And that's another thing where the listing price and the sale price comes into play. It's pretty, I think, relative when, or relevant when, a property's listed for $350,000 and it sells for $360,000, and there are points involved or something like that. So we would want to know, that would be a reason for the appraiser to pick up the phone and to call the listing agent. And I always start with the listing agent because they're the ones that have the seller. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, it goes to Frank's, what he said earlier. You know, we have long memories, and if I've had dealings with the listing agent before and they were uncooperative, then I'm going to call the selling agent, and because that would probably be somebody I have talked with. So it is a investigative process. And from our standpoint, appraiser standpoint, it would be darn helpful to have the actual concessions listed. Do I think that's realistic? Do I think there might be some confidentiality issues? I think there could be. USPAP doesn't refer to them from the standards. We just have to reduce it to cash or cash equivalency.
Okay, so. Good. Let's go to, I got a whole bunch of follow-up questions, but I do want to ask this confidentiality question. This actually has been going on for at least 8 years that I know of. I know that some multiple listing services and some associations have had their board counsel or their MLS counsel give advice to their members not to disclose this because it is a breach of confidentiality. As I understand it, in order for it to be covered under the Realtor's Code of Ethics, your Code of Ethics expert, it has to be identified as confidential and its disclosure is prohibited by law or regulation. Can a real estate agent disclose concessions?
Well, I can tell you that in my MLS, we do, and I'm looking at all of my Illinois people that I'm seeing here. We do disclose if there are concessions, and that's a huge multiple listing service that if we were doing something we're not supposed to be doing, I'm sure somebody would have sued our butts by now. So... And as I travel around the country, I find it often that the concessions, I don't think it's a confidentiality issue. It's part of the transaction. And as far as I'm concerned, HUD would say it's not a confidentiality issue because anything that pertains to the transaction is supposed to be disclosed.
It could be that some real estate agents are playing the same game with confidentiality that some appraisers do. And they're holding it up as a shield.
Yeah.
As an excuse where, just don't talk to me, okay? And you know, some appraisers use confidentiality like that. When they are free to discuss a whole bunch of things other than assignment results. When in fact they could be a heck of a lot more cooperative and more like human beings in these transactions. And it could be that agents are playing the same kind of game with confidentiality. The reason concessions are important, as Maggie alluded to, is that why is the seller giving this credit back to the buyer? Why is the seller paying this concession? Is he doing it out of the goodness of his heart? Is he doing it because he's religious? Is he doing it because it's May of 2014? Why is the seller paying that concession? You're not going to have a deal unless he does. Isn't that it?
Yeah.
So, and the appraiser's job is to figure out whether the payment of that concession, as it relates to a comparable sale, had an effect on the sales price. And you can't say that in all cases it does, but that's the appraiser's job to make that determination by talking to market participants. Ryan?
Frank, let me jump in real quick. I think it's important to ask the question, if someone says it's illegal, to get chapter and verse. And just recently, there was a state board who had released some information. The topic's irrelevant for this conversation, but they had opined within this newsletter that something was illegal. My company, it was brought to our attention. We asked the question. We asked for chapter and verse. That state board is now issuing a retraction and a correction because it was someone's interpretation of this law or regulation, and it was a misinterpretation. So feel free to ask the question. Asking someone for chapter and verse is not unnecessary by any means. It will help educate you in those things that you can and cannot do. And on this topic, I would say we see these types of things, again, as an AMC in many states where concessions are disclosed, and absolutely something that the lenders will consider. I work almost exclusively on the default side of the business, but in determining listing prices, for example, they need to understand what types of seller concessions they might be expected to pay,
right,
and how it influences the listing price.
Okay, let's go to something similar but yet different, because I tend to think of it in terms of confidentiality, and that's having to do with multiple offers. You've got a multiple offer situation. The first day the property's on the market, the seller received an offer of $5,000 over the list price. And I guess that I always say $5,000 in relation to what? If it's a $2 million property, that doesn't mean too much to me. If it's a $10,000 property, that's significant. But it's $5,000 over the list price. The house underappraises by $3,000. The deal fell apart. The second contract stepped in because there were multiple offers. The house appraises $2,000 higher than the original contract price with a different lender. And I guess the question has to do with when you're meeting the appraiser at the property, do you disclose that there's multiple offers on the property? And if you disclose, how much information do you give them? Or when you're talking about comparable sales, do you disclose that there are multiple offers? That's why the property, that comparable sale, sold above the listed price. Do you disclose multiple offers?
Yes. If I'm going to meet the appraiser and there were multiple offers on the property, I'm going to make sure the appraiser knows that that's how we got to that slightly higher than list price, possibly. But I want to be clear. And I thought where you were going to go with this, Frank, was whether or not I had to disclose to the second appraiser that it didn't appraise out the first time. Did anybody else have the feeling that might have been where that was going? I just want to say, I am not telling you that.
And I don't care what it is. I don't care what...
Thank you.
You know, the thing, as far as I'm concerned, everyone else is wrong. I'm the one that's right.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. We're not going with that one. But no, I think we should be disclosing there are multiple offers.
And there could be a valid reason for both appraisals to be right. If you have a market that is appreciating rapidly and the appraisals are done a month apart or even 3 weeks apart, there could have been a number of comps that closed.
Could have been an appraiser with a long memory.
It could have been. But there could have been a number of comps that closed right in that interim that
yes.
then all of a sudden
yes.
the value's there.
Where you're seeing a 10% increase month over month in the market
yeah.
that would support this higher value.
Right.
Frank, is there any question in there about when the appraisers call us as realtors and ask us to disclose the price on a pending sale?
No, I don't have a question about that.
But can we talk about that?
Please do.
We hear this quite often, that the appraiser calls and says, Lynn, I know this one hasn't closed yet. It's pending. Can you tell me what it sold for and what's going on? I don't think you guys can speak to this. You're not using that as a comp. You're using it to show the direction the market is going.
Research trajectory. That's,
is that?
Not always.
Okay.
If you're willing, if we have agents that are willing to at least get us close, because now we're being asked for not only closed transactions, but also listings and pendings, because it does support, like you said, the trends. But it also, if you're in a market that's just now having an upward tick, and that's showing that upward tick, we have to use closed transactions, but we can also use those that are pending. And sometimes if you know the agent, you might get the information from an appraiser standpoint. And I'm trying to keep this real world. And mm-hmm. other times they'll say, I can't help you, and hang up the phone. And in kind of an in-between scenario, they'll say, well, I can't actually mm-hmm. tell you the price,
yeah.
but it's yeah. within 2% or 1% okay. of the list price. Well, you know, that gives you a pretty good feel, if you would.
But I want to share with all my realtors in the room that the reason we don't disclose the sale price of a pending sale is generally so the rest of the realtors don't know what it sold
right.
for. In case the deal fell apart, I've given away confidential information. Why aren't we asking at the time of contract, why aren't we asking permission from the seller to disclose to an appraiser only how much the property sold for prior to closing? And if you had permission from your seller to do that, then you have no problem whatsoever in telling the appraisers, because the only person that controls that release of confidential information is the seller. So if we got into the habit of doing that, we would be able to pass that information along.
Okay.
I had a vested interest in
it.
I wanted to say that. That's why I asked the question.
That's cool. That's very good. And again, multiple offers. I can remember situations, not recently, but again, in the run-up in the 2005 years and so on, where we were seeing substantial increases, you know, week to week, never mind the month to month. And there was a property that I had an assignment to appraise for a conventional loan. And, I mean, I was flabbergasted. I said, how in the world is this, you know, happening? And the listing agent stood there with four offers in his hand. And he actually made the offers available to me. He says, here, this is what we've got. And none of them involved concessions. It was a property on a barrier island, so there was, you know, they weren't making any more of them. And as a result, I went out on a limb. I mean, I just said, you know, we've got four idiots that want to pay this kind of money. Who am I to say that the property's not worth it? So. Okay, I gotta be careful. Who in here have I offended yet? Thank you, Vic.
Thank you, Vic.
Okay, all right. We are going to move on to skit number three, and this time, we got our players again. Players again for skit number three.
This time,
go to it, please.
This time Ryan's the agent and I'm the seller.
The crazy seller.
Crazy seller. No, not really.
Well, then guess what? The great part is we've got multiple offers on your house. The great part about that, as I said, we'll be negotiating the next hurdle, which is going to be the appraisal process coming up. And if it doesn't appraise, we might have a little issue.
Why? If the buyer's willing to pay, I mean, we had all these buyers. If this one's willing to pay that price, he's the only one who has to pay it. Why would we have an issue? He's agreed to do that.
True, very true. But Lynn, the banks are not going to lend anything on anybody just because somebody wrote it on paper and we all agreed to it. What we're doing now is, we're not saying it's not worth it, but the buyer, what he's willing to pay for it, but let's get a true determination of the value by a certified appraisal.
But doesn't the appraiser get a copy of the contract Can't the appraiser just look at that and say, if the buyer's willing to pay it, that it's got to be worth that much?
Well, the purpose of the appraiser is to get a copy of the contract, is not to hit that target, so to say, is to be sure the appraiser looks at the terms of the contract or anything that could affect the value. Like I said before, if you have given the first buyer patio furniture or even a pool table, you know, that would affect the appraisal price.
Okay, I get that, but then there's another issue, because one of our neighbors, when they sold their house, they said that the appraiser came in from out of town, and the appraiser didn't know anything about the marketplace, and, you know, we've got this great school district here, and we know that everybody's willing to pay more money for our houses here because they're in that school, but that appraiser used that other school across the way, houses from that school district, and it didn't appraise out. So and then they ended up selling their house for less money over here, which is starting to affect all of us. So how does that all work? Well, why didn't the appraiser use the right comps or whatever those things are called?
When the time comes and when the appraiser contacts us, the appraiser does not have what we're, you know, geographic competence. Or doesn't have access to our turn page. No, just joking. To the MLS information that we have. Well, I'll be happy to sit down, discuss, or even talk to them over the phone, you know, with the buyer agents, or discuss with the buyer's lender.
Okay, so here's another thing. You know how much work we did to this house. You know that we remodeled the kitchen, we did all of that work in the bathroom, and the basement, you know, the mahogany wet bar, the whole nine yards, everything we did. How is the appraiser going to know that my house is better than the house that sold down the street?
You did too much work. Don't worry. I'll be meeting with the appraiser.
I hired him for what? Oh, I'm sorry. No.
I'm going to meet with the appraiser. I'm going to give him all the information, let him know all the detailed work that you've done. And don't worry, he'll know everything that you guys have done.
Okay, so you're going to meet. And how long does all of this take? Because I'm really worried about this thing not appraising out because of what happened to my friend down the street.
Well, it could take a week, it could take a little bit longer, depending on the information that he is going to need for this property. We want to make sure he does a thorough job so it comes out the way we like it. We want the true value to be there.
So all we can do about now is just, what, wait for the appraiser to come in and keep our fingers crossed?
Then I'll be sure to do my job in providing the appraiser with the relevant information he or she needs and know everything about your house and the neighborhood and what they need to know to help get that price. Sound good?
But what if it doesn't appraise out? What's our next step going to be?
Next step, we might have to go back and renegotiate with the buyer.
Can't we just make the buyer? Never mind. We'll talk about that when it happens.
Sounds good. Let's not worry about that now.
Okay.
Yay. I like this. In light of what we were talking about, I think that this fits right in. And I've got two questions that relate to that, and that is, if there were multiple offers that pushed up the property value, and I'm gonna make a correction to this. It pushed up the price. It didn't push up
the price.
Multiple offers don't push up value. Multiple offers push up price. Do you take the high demand of the market into account regarding your value, how you value the property? And then the second part to that question, somebody else wrote it, but it's the second part, and that is, how are appraisers establishing the value? I hope that you answer that same way I did. How are appraisers establishing the value of a home when it sells $15,000 to $20,000 over the asking price in bidding wars due to the lack of inventory? Isn't that creating a false market again? So first one is, if there's multiple offers, how do you take that into account?
Wait, that, if it's just...
Look at us all looking at you.
Right, I know.
These were both directed at appraisers, I think.
Sure. Well, it's kind of like testifying. You have to give me a minute to get it straight in my mind. So if you're looking at a multiple offer situation, property's been on the market, I would assume, a relatively short time to get multiple offers. Mm-hmm. That addresses at least a start of demand, and somebody has to be first. So I'd want to make sure, and I probably should have said this, and you all probably know, that most of us that are appraisers also belong to our local boards of realtors as full dues paying members so that we have access to both sales and listings. So I have a very good relationship with my board. So I'm going to look to see if the same situation's happening in other instances. I'm going to look to see how many properties are on the market. If this is a low inventory and there is a strong demand, then I can adjust my comparables to reflect what's called a market condition adjustment. We have to offer support for that, because if we're now submitting appraisal reports and they're under even more scrutiny, we used to be able to say, you know, the market in this area is appreciating 2% a month or 4% a month. Now we have to show how and why, where we get this information. And we all see things printed in the newspaper, and on average, properties went up 15%. Well, that means that in some neighborhoods they went up 30 and some they went down 10. So we have to be able to show statistically and by comparables this change in demand. But it's certainly nice to know that we have multiple offers and what the property has in relation to other properties in the neighborhood, because you always can adjust your comparables. And that's what I think a lot of appraisers forget as they go through. It's not showing it, so I can't make a market adjustment because I have to support it. Well, that's what we get paid for. So that's one thing we should be doing.
Anybody want to expand on that, Penny?
I would say, you know, when you're in a situation like that, sometimes it's self-correcting in the appraisal process anyway, because they can only use closed sales for the most part, and they can't keep pace with what's happening. And you know, if you look at a good example was Phoenix back in 2005. It was readily apparent something was drastically wrong with that market. And I don't mean to offend anybody by saying that.
You don't have to apologize. I already apologize for all of you already.
Because you were getting offers that were clearly speculative. So you were getting multiple offers. And I'm not saying speculation's a bad thing. I'm just saying that we can't lend on it. And you know, I think people can speculate all they want with their cash. They just can't do it with the mortgage loan. So in the appraisal process, that's why the insistence is you work with closed sales, because it does slow down that speculation on the value, but not necessarily on the price. People are free to, you know, it's that... I forget how many millions of dollars somebody paid for Michael Jackson's sequin glove. At the end of the day, it's a sequin glove, right? I mean, so what is that worth versus the fact that it was Michael Jackson's and somebody wanted it, and what they wanted it so bad they were willing to pay X million dollars for it.
But the difference is they paid cash. They didn't go
right,
to their bank
right,
and take
right.
a loan.
I heard they borrowed the money from Wells Fargo. And I think you know, some of you, you've all touched on this, and again, you know, as far as multiple offers, and that is, that's just one piece of information that the appraiser considers. And you have to consider it in the context of the rest of the market. So there's multiple offers on this property, yet the appraiser's investigation reveals that the property was listed for sale for 18 months at a lower price, and then all of a sudden we got multiple offers at a higher price. Or the appraiser's investigation of that particular market shows that 20% of that subdivision is currently listed for sale and has been listed for sale for over 90 days. Then multiple offers, don't pull my leg is what I guess what I meant.
Right.
You consider things in context. Yet, if it shows that there's just 1 or 2% of this particular subdivision or this condominium that is currently listed for sale, and the properties are under contract within, you know, 10 to 15 days, and they're closing, and a very high percentage of them for cash within 30 days, well, then the multiple offers, that tends to make sense. The appraiser, I think, would be well justified to include listings and evidence of the short marketing time, the short exposure time, in their appraisal report to justify things. And Maggie, you mentioned one other thing, and that was the date of sale time adjustment or the market conditions adjustment. I know that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac got on board and started demanding appraisers pay attention to market conditions when the market was declining. All of a sudden, they got interested in the direction of the market around 2007. And But then when the market started to rebound, and appraisers had the audacity to actually make a positive date of sale or market conditions adjustment, all of a sudden lenders said, you can't do that. Didn't you also hear from appraisers that said they had an appraisal tossed back in their face because there was a positive date of sale time adjustment or market conditions adjustment? Mm-hmm. I've heard seriously from dozens. Okay, there's a second part to that question, and that was, how are appraisers establishing the value of a home when it sells $15,000 to $20,000 over asking in bidding wars due to the lack of inventory? How do you establish value, Maggie?
I don't. The market does. I'm just reporting value. So I don't think as an appraiser that we, well, we're not, that's not our job. Our job is to report what's happening. And it does, though, allude back to the fact that if there's a market condition adjustment that's warranted, I'm not saying I'm just going to make it, but if there is a trend, an upward trend, and it's apparent in the market, and you can show that again from statistics, from sales and resales, there's nothing inherently wrong in using that to form an opinion of value, as long as it's based on evidence that the lender can see and witness. And so it goes to the back to whether we're using the UAD form or whether we're using a traditional appraisal that's not using the UAD. It's support for the adjustments that we use. And I always try to tell, I do tell people that my value would be the same regardless of who hires me to do the same job. And if it's to form an opinion of market value for a specified loan or something like that, it would be the same than if you came to me and said, I'm thinking about buying this property, what's the market value of it? So, you know, it's all the support there in the market.
Okay. Thanks for taking that line I sent you. I got a couple other questions. They don't have to relate to multiple offers, but they do relate to things, and I don't think the next skit covers this. It has to do with measurement, calculating gross living area. This one, I mean, it is so exact. I don't know. Do you have all these appraisals in your possession? This is what I want to know. This has appraisal criteria changed for square footage calculation, Swain. In 2004, and this is why, in 2004, the appraisal showed 3,043 square feet. In 2007,